Good morning, Metroplex. It's a Tolo Tuesday edition after CeeDee Lamb gets his money. We appreciate you turning it on and leaving it on. We want to hook you up with Texas Rangers tickets during the commercial-free expressway that is right around the corner. 34 a year, 100 guaranteed, and a $38 million signing bonus. So CeeDee Lamb, now, per year basis, second highest paid receiver in football, and he becomes the 11th receiver to sign a big deal this offseason. The offseason for receivers, and there are still guys out there. Ayuk, Trent Williams is saying, I'm not showing up, period, until this is done. Hassan Reddick, that mess with the Jets, and Ja'Marr Chase with the Bengals. And Bobby, you were taking note of Mike McCarthy's reaction to the contract extension.
Yeah, this was, he didn't have his typical press conference on Monday. It was a conference call instead. But the quote that came out of there, because his conference call was later in the afternoon after the deal was done, his quote on the conference call was a little bit odd to me. So they asked him, you know, how excited are you to have him back? And his quote was, the talent has been extremely evident since this young man has stepped on a football field. Not only does he play every position on the offensive perimeter, but he's also an exceptional returner, and he loves it. He loves being in the backfield and loves running the ball as well. He gives you that opportunity to not only take advantage of that schematically, but he's damn good at all of it. And it makes me circle back and go, CeeDee hasn't run back punts in 3 years. And I don't think they're giving him $34 million to then run back punts. And
well, you must have missed Stephen Jones' quote where you could read it and make it sound like they're going to run him into the ground.
There is a, yeah, he did say he was going to get as much usage as possible. So that makes me wonder, I don't know, just by reading that, is he...
You just didn't understand why I brought up the special teams.
Because is he just trying to illustrate, man, this is how much he loves football. Great all-around
football player.
He does everything like that.
Yeah.
We're years removed from that. Like, that's, I had forgotten CeeDee ran back punts, to be honest. And then it was he did do that early on. Well, it makes me wonder, do they have plans to use him at all with this new kickoff stuff? Are there little packages where it's like, okay, hey, we're going to put him back there for punts when we're backed up against an end zone? We trust CeeDee to catch the ball, maybe not at some of the other guys right now. I thought it was odd that he would use the returner as the very next thing that he talked about when listing his abilities.
I just think it's an overall compliment to him as a football player.
Could be.
I think. Now, Choppy. Mm. What will this mean for Dak Prescott's deal?
Well, this team operates without a schedule. I don't know why. I don't know why, but the Joneses operate like they don't have a schedule. That their schedule.
You're not going to tell me,
right? You're not going to, and I don't know if they're doing that to, like, you know, kind of keep the player down and make sure that everybody knows, hey, we're in charge here, or just keeping the or to stay in the news. I don't know, but. Like, you know, 2 months ago, I was like, yeah, Dak, they'll get Dak done before the start of the year. I don't know that that's, I don't, first of all, I don't think that there's a chance they get him done before the start of the year now. I don't think they get Dak done until they view it as the point of no return, which will probably be 3 days before a free agency.
They just
operate in such a, not delusional world.
It's arrogant, but... But it may be accurate because I think in the back of their minds, I dare you to request a trade out of here. You won't. You won't give up this brand. I built a brand you can't leave. And you won't want to leave.
Yeah. They only cave when they have no other option. When they know they've lost the negotiation. Like, that's it. Like, they only caved with Zeke because they wanted to make sure that their guy, Jason, I believe, had a full complement of players in order to be able to fully give him the you didn't want to give Jason his final year without his best player, which was still a pretty much a run first team for the most, or at least 50-50. And then they didn't want to give Mike that, I don't think, here. But like with Dak, they'll cave on Dak when it's evident that he's going to go to free agency and leave.
But who is going to... Yeah, who
Or they win the negotiation. Either one.
Or they lose it and he leaves. Who is going to be the person to say, get me out of here and I'm leaving? Like, they did this with Amari. They tempted free agency. And as a fan, I'm terrified of that. Like, don't even let them look at free agency. But they operate, and they have not been proven wrong yet.
Yeah, they don't believe it hurts them. They don't believe it hurts them to operate the way they do. Otherwise, I don't think they would actually still do
it. They just don't think that – they don't think you'll leave.
Right.
They don't think you'll give up the brand. Why would you ever leave? Did they win, lose, or draw the negotiation with CeeDee Lamb, Bobby?
I mean, it came down where I think the market thought it should. Ultimately, when they got down to the standoff and they're facing each other and one side saying one number and the other side saying the other, they came to CeeDee's number. And so in that sense, they lost. I think where they lost was just – time. Like the digging in on something that seemed so
time just with missed training camp.
Yeah,
that's the real loss.
Just I mean, honestly, like the ability to like make sure that he was here. Now look, I think at receiver and specifically with CeeDee and the work he gets in with Dak during the offseason matters less because of
and
the
McCarthy
precision.
Did say yesterday, now we have to be very cognizant of how to use them and how much to just throw them back out there 100 miles an hour.
Which they will practice at the Star later this afternoon. Maybe he's out there. Like, there's a thought that he could be out there practicing today. But I think what they lose ultimately is just, there seems to be so much of an obsession at times with the way the Cowboys negotiate on, they want to win the negotiation more than they want to get it done in a timely manner. Like it seems like something where the bigger priority is, well, we got to win. They can't think that they are going to come in here and dictate anything to us. We're not going to set a standard of you dictate anything to us.
Yeah, they don't believe in the, well, this is the market. They don't believe in that. They don't believe like the percentage of the cap.
Until the payday comes. Yeah.
But they you know, they're like, you know, look, we're the Cowboys. We have our own market. And when we have to, we'll come to that market. Like, if you guys were to guess, what month does Dak sign?
You will give us your prediction on it.
February? March? Like, first week of March?
I don't know.
The week before free agency starts?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the talk has been, I know Archer said this, and I mean, we could ask him about it at 8.
Or not, if they have Green Bay 2.0 again.
Yeah, they missed the playoffs or whatever. Yeah, right.
Well, and
true.
I mean, Archer's talked about the idea of, like, this could go up to a couple days before the season. You know, like, I mean, this or before the new league year, like you could go a couple days before potentially and push it that far. And it's, if you're Dak, is there really, do you have anything right now that says you need to give in on your number? Is there anything that the Cowboys have that says you need to get?
So no. if you're 2-4 at the bye week,
I don't think it does.
But like, because if they're 6-0 at the bye week and they beat Baltimore or Detroit, like if I'm Dak, there's no chance I'm signing.
Like,
you'd have to come to $70 million now.
I think there's a much greater chance that Dak, by waiting, and I'm not saying he's doing this, but Dak, by waiting, can up his number than see it go down any. And so, for Dak, if you're looking at it from just a business standpoint, waiting should be the play if you're Dak, if you're wanting to get every last bit of money out of this that you can.
Absolutely.
But I think, honestly, it's just they're not close right now on the number.
He already has enough money to last him and for six generations. So he's already got, like, he's already playing with house money. The only thing that would keep Dak from he's going to get signed to $60 million regardless of what happens. Kirk Cousins showed that last year. He could have an Achilles rupture and still get signed to a ton of money.
NFL Network reports the Cowboys are meeting with four-time Pro Bowler Dalvin Cook. Tom Pelissero says, unlike a year ago when he was rehabbing from shoulder surgery, Cook has hit the weights all off season and says he feels the best he has in years. The old standard line. What has been the fans' sentiment to Dalvin Cook as I am out? RJ's in.
I think most of what I've seen is people saying, sure, why the hell not? Like, give it a shot. That's kind of I don't see anybody as gung-ho about it as they were last year when they were clamoring for, don't let the Jets get in on this. Come on, let's go. I would have been more gung-ho about this last year. He showed he wasn't as good. Last year, like, it shows that he's starting a decline. And look, running backs have their own version of the 27 club. When you turn 27, that is the line for a lot of running backs in their careers, where after the age 27 season, you're done. And it's just everything is downhill from there. Last year was the age 28 season for Cook. It was a significant drop. And I don't know that there's any reasonable way to think that he's going to be a primary ball carrier again.
I was all out last year, but now the money is probably so cheap it's gone the other way, and it's like, fine, you know what? It's not going to hurt to bring him in. If he's got nothing, then you lose him for basically nothing.
What is Gerard Mayo doing in New England? Here he is, asked about, right? They got to pick a quarterback in Pittsburgh. We're not waiting, but they're waiting for a quarterback in New England. This is new head coach Gerard Mayo on Drake May versus Jacoby Brissett.
I would say, you know, it starts in practice and also in the game where, you know, Drake has played better. Now, in saying that, you know, everyone wants to know, like, who the starter is going to be. I think there are multiple factors that kind of have to go into this decision. One is the total body of work, whether we're talking about the spring or the entirety of training camp. And then I'll also say, oftentimes we forget about just the overall experience that a guy like Jacoby has, which will also be weighted in the decision that we have to make here in the near future. But I'm happy with the way those guys are, you know, battling it out. And hopefully over the next couple of days, we can name a starter and get the season rolling.
Okay. A few hours before, though, Gerard Mayo said Drake May is the second best quarterback on our roster right now. So in the radio interview, he's saying Drake May is the best. And then before that, yeah, he said Drake May is second best.
Yeah, they're going to butcher this decision. They are. Like, you know, if Drake May and Jacoby Brissett are even close to even, just start the kid, man. Like, that position is all about upside. You know how Jacoby Brissett doesn't win you, like, football games. Now, he might, like, win a couple, but he doesn't win you, like, championships. He doesn't give you hope. The kid gives you hope. And Sean Payton's doing the right thing with Bo Nix. Like, he's going to play Bo Nix. They're going to play Stidham. You know how Zach Wilson's story ends? Like, play the kid. Throw Drake May out there and see what he has. And if he fails, pull a Arizona Cardinals and draft his replacement next year or the year after.
And Drake May threw a touchdown in the Patriots' last preseason game, except it was called back. And friend of the show, the all-time meatball, Scott Zolak on Patriots Radio, did something you don't hear very often on a local broadcast, Bally.
Baker split right, poked to the near side. Mays back to pass, flush to his left. He's going to run to the near side, then he's going to toss the ball off balance to Osborne. Makes the catch at the 11. Curls to the inside 5. Runs to the end zone.
Illegal formation. Once again, left tackle number 77
is lined
up in the backfield.
Wow.
Where's the O-line coach? There is no score. We'll replay second down.
Peter should be having a conniption on the sideline. Gerard Mayo should be having a conniption on the sideline. This is inexcusable. You take a touchdown off the field for your fourth tackle in the backfield call. Inexcusable at the professional level. You know it. I know it.
It's great. Zolak. That's great right there.
Preseason game.
he doesn't matter. He's got one. He has one speed. Go. That's it. One speed, man. That's the meatball right there. But he's right. I mean,
you stink.
I love it. You stink. Oh, you stink. And then because when the referee says, once again, number 77, you know it's bad.
Gerard Mayo on the Drake May thing real quick. That's a good example of, if you don't believe the Cowboys were considering Adoga over Guyton, listen to what Gerard Mayo is telling you. He's telling you Drake May's better and has been better, and he's still saying, yeah, but Jacoby, he's a veteran. And that's what matters to a lot of these coaches.
All right, buckle up for the expressway. We not only have a Texas Rangers ticket giveaway, we have your responses on the Odyssey app to Jerry Jones saying, no one can effing get this S done better than me, and a drunk Cowboys fight with the audio recorded, commercial free, expressway, and a giveaway with Sean and RJ next. Todd Archer at 8 o'clock on what got the CeeDee Lamb deal done. Is Dalvin Cook next? How's the 53 going to turn out? And his response to Jerry Jones' comments to Clarence Hill. Ask Reddit is also coming up here during the commercial free expressway and a Texas Rangers ticket giveaway. We are not going to have enough time. Let's start, though, with your Odyssey app reactions to what Jerry said. I'm paraphrasing, basically saying, ain't no mother effer out there that could come in here and do a better job than me as Cowboys general manager. How many curse words did you count here?
7 F's, 3 S's, and that's just in what was published.
Okay. So that's Jerry getting a little feisty with Chill. Pepe, we asked the Tolos to respond. Try to keep it cleaner than Charles Haley yesterday. What do we have?
First up, Sean, we have someone who might disagree with you here. Andre in Washington, D.C. says, Sean, you got to check yourself talking about Jerry like that.
Number one, Sean, you can't say he failed. He's put teams together that was good enough to win at least 3 or 4 playoff games and get to the championship. The problem is you had players that didn't perform like they should have. Romo with the drop ball, Dez Bryant with the catch.
Okay, so teams
Dez caught it. Didn't catch it, but caught it. Like, we all know, but we all know.
Okay.
Like, that,
But here's the news for you. What round was that in?
That would have gotten them into the conference championship game.
Okay.
So it was the second round. But yeah, like, they.
And that's.
That was their one bad luck. If you want to use bad luck, that was it.
Yeah. Now, there's an argument to be made. Bobby would make it. When I started here and the Cowboys were losing all the NFC championship, like, walk-off games, you could have made an argument that he should have gotten rid of Tony Romo right then. All right, so I can blame Jerry Jones for keeping Tony Romo around if I wanted to. I could blame him for keeping Dak Prescott around if I wanted to, if they don't truly believe he can take them over the top. What was the name of that individual? What was the name of the Tolo?
Andre in Washington, D.C.
Okay, 28 years, man. 28 years. You cannot argue it. You just can't. Not even sniffing it. Not even getting that close. Really, really good. We do this every year when the postseason rolls around. We watch the other teams and we go, yeah, we're far away from that. We watch Kansas City versus Buffalo and we're like, yeah, we're not close. We watch Cincinnati give it to Mahomes and the Chiefs. No, can't sniff that. Watch San Francisco. Yeah, there's clear separation. We do it every single year.
Was there a year? Was it 20? Would 22 have been the year for you where you felt like that gap was closest? When they went to San Francisco and lost by that 7, where they couldn't generate offense, but they went into San Francisco and kept that a competitive game for a while. Would that be the closest?
The playoff game?
Yeah. Would you say that's the closest they've been to having the gap closed between them and those teams?
Well, first off, I didn't leave that game at all thinking that the Cowboys were even 7 points close to them. Like, after the game was over, I'm like, there's no question San Francisco should have won both games. I think sometimes we trick ourselves with a viral Cowboy embarrassment that happens at the end. We trick ourselves into thinking that they were actually closer in the game than they actually were. Like the Zeke fumble thing, San Francisco controlled that game. Like that wasn't, oh my God, if that didn't happen. Dak and the time and the snap, that was still a 2% chance.
Yeah, it was going to be a 35-yard Hail Mary.
Yes. So, like, they were outplayed and outclassed in those games. So maybe the Dez thing. Maybe you're right about the Dez thing getting to the NFC Championship game. Maybe that was their worst bit of luck. Now, what would that have done in that game? What was the score? Time
and moment? That would have put them up. It would have given them first and goal with, like, 4 minutes left.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is,
Rodgers would have had 4
Aaron
minutes.
Aaron Rodgers on one leg.
But still, you would have had the lead with less than 4 minutes and burn some clock.
I expected Rodgers to go down the field and score, though, and they would have still lost.
That's fair.
And I can blame him, as you said, for keeping coaches around who weren't good enough to put you over the top in the postseason.
Yes,
Jason Garrett and Mike McCarthy.
You can absolutely blame that. You know, Wade was fine. Wade was here for a short time. They had success under Wade, though. You know, they were
also many people throughout the league who think, you know, Wade Phillips is a lifelong defensive coordinator.
Right. But look, when they got rid of, when Bill walked away, I mean, if you want to say he walked away or they kind of mutually told, you know, it was evident Jerry was not enjoying his time with Bill. Jerry was getting older and he was like, I don't want a coach that I don't really like as a person.
Which fine, that's his prerogative, but it's selfish. It's selfish, and on the grand scale of mattering, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. There's plenty of people you work with that you don't want to go out and have a beer with. They're your top producer, so you keep them employed. They're getting the job done, right? There's plenty of bosses you have you don't like. We're thriving as a company. We're crushing it. You keep that person around. Not, oh, I can't go out and share a bottle of Johnny Blue with this guy, so he should go. I'm not having my fun. That's selfish to me. in my opinion. If that's the way it worked out, I wasn't here to cover it. I'll take your word for it. What else do we have?
Next up, we have James.
And by the way, one last thing real quick. You want to give me that line on the Odyssey app for the last 8 years? Fine. Not 28. 28. If we're sitting here, all right, I'll be totally honest with you. Here's the real. When someone asked me right now, like if this job ended here today for this radio station, I would say we had a really good show. We had a very nice run. It came up short of what my expectations were when I came here from Kansas City. Kansas City, 1 year, killing it, top of the ratings. I'm like, well, that's just going to easily happen in Dallas. Now, I can come from D.C. and root for other teams, be from the East Coast. It won't matter because it didn't matter in Kansas City for 1 year. That did not happen. If I had to circle yes or no, did I accomplish what I wanted to do here at this radio station 15 years in? I would personally circle no. Because we just didn't come in and take over and be number one throughout the entire period and time. That's the way I judge my success. That's me. So I would say, yeah, I came up a little short. We had a nice run. We had good shows. We lasted. We probably overcame expectations. But at the end of the day, if I had to truth serum, I would circle no, came up short as a bit of a failure. That's the way I view the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, you have really nice regular seasons. You have really nice runs. You haven't come close to sniffing the ultimate. So you failed. And you're the guy in charge of it. And you keep telling us after 30 years. I watched this political documentary the other day. And the trick was, you say anything three times and you can make people believe it. And Jerry Jones has said this, you know, for 28 years. Like, look at the other formulas around the league. Well, unfortunately, you know, for Jerry, we have the internet. And we can see all the other organizations who have rebuilt and gone back while we're sitting here treading water. It's not the deepest water. It's, you know, it's 12-win water. But what are you really all about? Are you about one, or are you about, like, having a really nice run? I'm about one. What else?
Next up, we have James in Dallas. James, though, is not blaming Jerry for the failure. He's blaming someone else in the organization.
I feel like the last couple of years, Steven's taking the reins, and he's making the calls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jerry may be more of a figurehead at this point. I'm not sure, but personally, I'm putting all this on Steven at this point.
Fair. That Steven Jones, perception-wise, is the frugal one who won't allow them to make an over-the-top move. That right now is the perception of Steven.
Perception-wise, he may be the frugal one. Look, it's if you're going to talk about credit and blame, it's really hard to put blame on somebody who isn't even the one in charge of everything. He didn't even have the title. Now we're talking about blaming guys without even having the title. Like, this is now speculation. We don't know.
Well, that's why we have insiders. That's why we're supposed to be able to go to Bobby Ball and say, what's the reality? We know
a,
what
they
the,
have a three-headed monster, right? They've got a three-headed monster.
Yeah, it's
which input-wise, yet Jerry loves to brag about I have the heaviest hand, but I think Jerry has the least impact day-to-day.
I think Jerry's whole organizational approach over the last decade has been, I've got these people who I think know their role, know their job. I'm going to have this round table of six or seven people to give me feedback on various topics whenever they come up. And then my job is I'm the executive. I'm the president with my veto pen, and I either reject it or I let it go through. Sometimes I may just say, I'm going above on this one and I'm making the call. I think that's how Jerry has decided to kind of have that in place. And I think that structure is relatively new in terms of it's the last decade. So really, like, the way he's approached things in that respect, that's been about the last 10 years.
This is Jerry Jones telling Clarence Hill, there's no one that could effing come in here and do all the contracts and be a GM any better than I can. And then now he's bragging about the finances, like knowing the cap and everything. And everyone around the league and in this city laughs at them for the way they go about it. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Last one here, guys. Michael in Rockwall. He has a little different angle on this one. He didn't want to talk about Jerry, but he wants to talk about the early contract situations with Dak and CD. And he says he's tired of hearing about it.
Just wanted to say, hey, you guys got to stop with this early contract stuff. Everyone knows that Dak was not going to get a contract done, the big contract early, because his agent was leaving to go to another agency, and then they wanted the second franchise tag so they could never use it again. And it helped set his floor. CD, they started to work with 18 months ago, but he didn't want to sign because he wanted to play out the rest of the receiver market like Justin Jefferson before he took his money. This was not in the team's control. It takes two to do a contract. They did Diggs early. They did Michael Gallup early. Look where that got them. They've done their early when they can, but the player has to want it as well.
Oh.
Yeah, that's...
Was that before he wiped?
The idea...
He was in the bathroom, right?
Oh.
Yeah. He was in
the there was absolutely an opportunity to get something done with Dak early. They just, they didn't. There was absolutely
which
some...
time?
After, when he first became available. Like, you're talking about...
No, I mean like 2019.
Yeah, leading into 19, you could have gotten something done. Because that's what he's referencing. Because he's referencing something that everybody knows, apparently, which is that Todd France was leaving an agency. That is something, by the way, I'm going to pat myself on the back. Well, I don't pat myself on the back. Just talk about it honestly. That's something that I've talked about. That's what I had heard in league circles. That's why Brian discusses it now. That's why you know that. So I'm telling you, if you're going to take that as something that I told you and now say everybody knows this, so that, well, then listen to me when I tell you they could have gotten it done in 19 and they didn't. They didn't do it, and they could have gotten this done last year and they didn't.
Commercial-free expressway on Sean, RJ, and Roberto. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. Let's actually hook you up because I'm going to forget about everything. We still have drunk cowboy audio. We have Ask Credit, but let's send you to go see the champs.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Call a number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a four-pack of tickets to see your Texas Rangers take on the Los Angeles Angels on Friday, September 6th. That's call a number 10 at 877-881-1053.
All right, drunk audio between Bobby and the Nosebleeds from the weekend.
Yeah, and I'm not looking forward to this because even though I'm totally comfortable in the arguments that I made, some of them listening back, I was like, yeah, these points are not always great because I'm a little inebriated here. But I know in general, Zach Wolchek's opinion is going to be the one that is the one that most people hold right now. So that's naturally not going to be a fun time for me on this one. But this is on Friday. We went out. We had some of that rock and roll tequila in honor of Kenny and Quinlan. And so this is Kenny and Quinlan's responsibility, his segment, I guess, is he's given us this content. Zach and I start arguing about Dak Prescott at an off-air function. We start talking football because he was talking about Zach getting offended. Like Eric's like, hey, I made a joke earlier today. Hopefully that didn't offend you. And Zach's like, no, it didn't. I was like, have I ever said anything that offended you? He's like, no. He's like, the biggest thing with you is you do kind of irritate me sometimes when you do dig in. Brian's right. You do dig in. I was like, on what? He's like, you dig in on Dak. So that started an argument between us that then Eric Chiafalo goes, this is good content, listening to these two drunk idiots argue. So he hit record on his cell phone, dropped it down on the table between us, and went going for 8 minutes on us back and forth arguing. So this first clip here, this is Wolchek just set me off because he ended up saying the wrong name that he would place ahead of Dak Prescott.
What quarterback is he in the league?
He's a top 10 quarterback.
No, give me like the number. What number is he?
Okay, if I'm going to rank them, give me Mahomes.
No, just throw me a number. Which one is it?
Ranking.
Allen. Honestly, Stafford.
Oh, my God.
You're two against Stafford.
Stafford's damn it. Eric, come here.
Dude,
can he say what he just said about losing records and then tell me Stafford is
Matthew
an elite
Stafford
quarterback?
Matthew Stafford has won a f***ing Super Bowl.
Shut up.
When he's
for
finally
a
got on a that is not, when he finally got on a good team, what did he do?
So wait.
He went and won a Super Bowl,
hold on,
Bobby.
Hold on. So it's about the team?
You can't be on the Detroit Lions.
It's about the team? What if the Cowboys are the Detroit Lions this year?
They're not.
Why? They have zero depth. You can't tell me
you can't tell me Dak hasn't had good rosters,
bro,
Bobby.
No, he has.
He's had better rosters than Matthew Stafford ever had with the Lions.
He's had good rosters.
Not a fair comparison.
So this all started because of RJ Choppy. Zach had pointed to right before that audio started. Zach had pointed to, he said, RJ's right. You can't have an elite quarterback and pick them to win seven games. that you can't believe they're an elite quarterback and pick them to win seven games.
Exactly.
So right. When he then throws Stafford in front of that, I'm like, dude, he was below 500 for 10 years, and you're telling me he's ahead of Dak.
I love how you gave the Cowboys the old Detroit Lions roster, though. I wrote that part down.
That was more just like, you can't see, you don't know what they are, is what I was trying to get at.
Part two of the drunk audio, talking about the arguments and the standards being different.
If you're an elite quarterback, you don't have a losing record. Matthew Stafford didn't in 2014 with the Lions. He led them to the playoffs.
Time
he led them to the playoffs
years,
two times.
He was a below 500 quarterback his career in Detroit.
He led them to the playoffs
but
two times.
He's below 500 for a career. Zach,
it's the f***ing Lions.
No, but you get like you're not holding this.
It's a different standard.
Nope.
It is.
No, it's not.
And the team's the Cowboys.
It's a different standard because it doesn't fit.
Tell me I'm wrong here. The teams Dak has had with the Cowboys have all been better than Matthew Stafford's teams with the
Yeah, look, I mean, Zach's right. Like, you, if you're an elite quarterback, you can't pick them to win seven. But if Stafford's elite, the Lions would have won more games. I fully believe that if Tom Brady or Manning or Mahomes were the quarterback of the Lions during Stafford's era, they win 10, 11 games every year, regardless of roster.
So
elite
rank,
quarterbacks do that.
Rank the drunkenness between the three of you.
Zach is more drunk than I am. Eric's the least drunk, and okay. Then I'm in the middle.
And then Zach starts pouring out, not the alcohol, he was going to sip that, his Dak playoff frustration gets poured out.
He had the drive.
Here's the reality.
Stafford had the drive. Dak's never had the f***ing drive.
He's had chances at the
and
drive.
And I begged him. I begged him. You gotta start that over. I went into the huddle
and I said, please.
It was more. He gets even more emotional right after I begged him. You gotta hear him right after he said, I begged him.
He had the drive.
Here's the reality.
Stafford had the drive. Dak's never had the f***ing drive.
He's had chances at the
and
drive.
And I begged him. I've begged him and prayed and wanted more than anything.
Zach.
He won't f***ing do it. He can't f***ing do it, Bobby.
Zach.
He can't do it.
Zach, take the teams out of it because you told me the teams don't matter. You told me the quarterbacks do. And if the quarterback is below 500, which is Stafford was for a f***ing decade.
Stafford would have beaten the 49ers.
No, he wouldn't.
With that Cowboys team.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes, he would have.
No, he would. Not after Paul, but I know he would.
So he's very much like he begged
and
he prayed.
Yes.
He's wanted it more than anything for Dak to do it, and he can't do it, and he won't do it.
Two more clips before Ask Reddit, then Todd Archer here on Sean and RJ. The importance of playoff success as the drunk argument continues.
Why couldn't Stafford beat people last year?
They did. They were the hottest team of the season in the second half.
In the second half, but
they were beaten and injured.
You told me. You said the postseason. You got to win in the postseason. You just told me that. And it didn't matter. It didn't happen.
They wilted when they got there. But he's won in the postseason.
At what year?
What do you mean, what year? He's a Super Bowl champion.
What year? What year was it? Year 13? So I'm saying
when
that, like.
He finally got on a competent roster with a competent coach.
Stafford? I'm just saying, you're completely inconsistent.
I'm not. And,
yes, you are.
I'm not at all inconsistent, Bobby.
You're saying this is the standard. You said this is the standard. It's not a breach when you told me already that the standard is if your team does this, you're not elite. And you just showed me Stafford did that for a decade. That team is different.
No. What I'm saying is if you think a quarterback is elite and you're picking them to go under 500, that is not an elite quarterback.
If I pick them to go below 500, if they actually go 500 for 10 years below 500, that's different. Because you didn't pick them to. They just did.
He hasn't done in the playoffs.
Neither did Stafford for 10 years.
You think Bobby talks faster without Adderall or on alcohol?
On alcohol. I think it's on alcohol.
Lucius and everybody yesterday when G-Bag played this, we're talking about how, was Bobby going off to the bathroom every 10 minutes, maybe with a little mirror or something like that?
And then finally, after 8 minutes of recording, Bobby realizes what Eric Chiafalo did.
Dak has proven in the clutch when it's time to go be a legend, when it's time to make a name for yourself, when quarterbacks are made, he has failed. He had two drives in both 49er games to go and do it, bro.
Dead, Eric.
He did.
Eric.
In both games.
Your screen lit up. Good job. Dead.
You got some good content, boys.
Maybe we'll beep that a little longer.
It's beeped. That counts.
What did he do?
Whose car was that he was banging on?
We were at a patio table. And he was every single point hitting his hand. And then 2 hours later, he texts me. He goes, whether you want to admit it or not, I backed you into a corner tonight. Like, well, and I'm like, okay, you
2 hours after he
could, 2 hours after,
better
yeah.
than his last 2 hours after activities. Now
he wanted to.
What did Chiafalo bang the counter? What did Chiafalo do?
Eric had hit record on his phone. The problem was when he'd left it at the table and he got a text and his phone lit up, and when it lit up, I saw 7:59, 8:80, and it was clear he'd been recording the whole time.
Oh, so that's when you just realized
it. I realized that he had been recording, and then I went over to him, and he's like, cool, thanks, I got some good content, boys, appreciate you.
All right, who won the battle? Who won the drunk audio fight between Roberto and Zach? 877-881-1053, Franco LaFranco, injury, attorney, text line. Todd Archer, coming up in about 18 minutes, it's Brian Broaddus' favorite segment of the show.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
That's right. It's time for Ask Reddit. We're going to get your thoughts on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys fan text at 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Also on the Twitch and YouTube, you can weigh in there, and we're going to kick these questions around here in the studio as well. RJ Choppy, What show starts as a 10 out of 10 but ends as a 1 out of 10?
Ooh, man, I didn't like the way Blacklist ended. I thought it kind of...
It's a good answer.
...really dragged on. There's a TV show. Remember Manifest?
Manifest is up there too.
It started really solid. 666 Park Avenue was another one that started out really solid and then just vanished like a fart in the wind. So I'll go Blacklist. I did not care for the last, I don't know, 4 seasons.
Wow.
It felt like they were just like on because the show was making money and they were giving no new creativity to it.
Peyton, what you got?
So this one, I never really got past the first season. It was one that was recommended by Tim Collins, and at first I loved it. It's The Morning Show with Jennifer Aniston. First few episodes, I was like, okay, I'm hooked on it. And then I got through 5, 6, 7 episodes, and I hated it. I couldn't watch it anymore. It just didn't get my attention as much.
I'm going to cheat here and go Breaking Bad to Better Call Saul. Never finished Better Call Saul. Gotcha. Breaking Bad got me so hyped. I was so excited, and it's just so damn slow. Then it started picking up a little bit, but at that time, I was done. I was finished with it.
David Sullivan over on the YouTube says Lost. That's also the answer for DFW Dad on the Twitch.
Hello, Chris, as well.
We got a couple contributions of Game of Thrones, and then Twello Vader also throwing out Lost on the Twitch.
That's a great question. I've never seen an episode of Lost either.
You know what?
I haven't either.
Weeds. Weeds was great early on with Mary Louise Parker.
Oh, it's a great show.
And then it just was awful. They dragged that on way too long. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105.3 The Fan. Sean Sharif, what's a toxic trait you recognize in yourself?
Ooh, toxic trait. You know, I would say maybe it's stubbornness because I'm going to say venomous. But I don't have that much regret over how vengeful I am. Rooting for other people's failures and eye for an eye. I wouldn't go to a therapist and want to necessarily fix that.
Sandler wouldn't want you to go.
Because he canceled your therapy?
Yeah, he got rid of my therapy.
I also think, maybe in my relationship, if we have a back and forth, I won't say I'm wrong. I guess I don't believe that I'm wrong until the very end, but I could say it earlier in the battle. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like sometimes a man will be, you're just not like, you, there's no warmth. Like you're just cold. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like I need to be cold sometimes in those moments.
My toxic trait is I have a really hard time undoing whatever my first impression is of you.
Oh.
Like, if you give me a bad first impression, like, it's really easy for me to just go, nope, that's it. Done. And it's really hard for me to reverse whatever I initially thought of
you. Wow, okay. That's a very interesting one.
Yeah.
Choppy, your toxic trait?
Well,
I mean, your toxic masculinity.
Some people would say my masculinity is toxic. I would tell those people that, I won't say that. I think what it is I tell people what they want to hear. But I don't tell people what they need to hear. It's not my place. I don't feel to tell them what they need to hear. So I just lie to people.
So one toxic trait for another. Not bad.
Right. It's just, that's probably it. Now, I don't do that to people that I really care about. But like just not don't care about, but like people super close to me.
Jared said, I am pro therapy, but thought that segment sucked.
Whoa.
Wow, he's still feisty from the text you sent him during our show meeting yesterday.
Yeah, I got a call about it too.
Peyton, I bet you did. Peyton, what's a toxic trait you recognize in yourself?
So it's trusting. It's trust issues. And it's one of those where, like, and I'll explain what I mean by it. It's like, if I tell you to do something or ask you to do something, it's like I have to, like, continue to follow up with you until you give me, like, a legit reasoning of, like, that you did. Proof that you did something. If it's like, you know, Sean, like, can you go to the store and grab this? Like, I'll be asking, did you get it? Did you get it? It's like with the whole Cowboys, you know, my job here is when someone's rolling on Jerry down line or Steven Jones, you know, I have to make sure. I can't just be like, okay, are you recording? Good, and trust them. I have to walk back there and watch them.
Wow.
Hit record and go, because it's like in my mind, if they mess up, it comes back to me ultimately.
Okay. All right. Very good answers.
Very, very strong there. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. Peyton Russell, what discontinued food or product do you still mourn today?
Oh.
It's Yogos, man. The frozen yogurt and the little balls, you know?
Never heard of this.
You've never heard of this?
Oh, no.
As a kid, I ate them up for lunches, for dessert, anything like snacks after school. Yogos. I mean, they did not last very long, but they were so easy. They tasted so good. You could freeze them too. Very, very delicious.
Yeah, these look like little, like bigger Dippin' Dots is what they look like.
The entire Taco Bell menu. The only thing I will eat at Taco Bell is a hard or soft shell taco supreme.
Glad you finished that sentence.
That's it. They took away the Mexi Melt. They took away the chili cheese burrito. They tricked it up with all these crunched up Cheetos and everything. And I don't want to eat nachos from Taco Bell. You took away all the best things. I think the Mexican pizza went away for a little bit. Then they brought it back. Thank goodness. The only thing I'll eat from Taco, and I love the sauces from Taco Bell. God, I loved Taco Bell, but they destroyed it.
Yeah, I always loved when Taco Bell, I miss what they did to their pricing, where you could order, like, you'd be like, can I get 4 Mexican pizzas, 10 burritos, 4 drinks, and then it's like $6.37, pull around to the next window.
Yeah.
It was like, sweet, that was really cheap. My answer here, I'm going to be toxic again. It's the original 4 Loko. I miss the original 4 Loko blend and the fact that it became something really soft and weak because people were dying or something.
What is exactly 4 Loko?
4 Loko is basically like a Bang Energy with a bunch of malt liquor inside of it. And so the combo wasn't really great. A lot of people had some heart issues when they would drink
Jolt.
It.
Remember Jolt?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Jolt with a bunch of liquor in it. Chop, your discontinued food or product that you mourn to this day.
I went product here. I mean, Ping Eye 2 irons. They just don't. Ping doesn't make the irons the way they used to. The Titleist Tour Prestige golf ball was fantastic. Then they went and they wanted to make a more expensive version. But look, the end of the day, it's the Easton Ultralight Drop 5 bat.
Oh, Easton!
Okay? They don't make Drop 5 bats anymore. People were hitting bombs, okay? Now they're all Drop 3s when you get to the high school level. We had Drop 5s. 32
what
and a half, 20.
Drop 5
so
mean?
Drop 3 is like a 33-inch, 30-ounce. Like 3 ounce. It's a difference. Drop 3, right? When we were kids, it was 33, 28. 32 and a half, 27 and a half, right? And you can hit absolute missiles. And, you know, look, just because a couple of pitchers may have gotten hit in the head on comebackers and they had to change the whole world. All right. Just because they were hitting bombs in Omaha, they had to change the whole world. I dropped 5s.
Navarre's sending a picture of something called Crunch Taters. I've never seen or heard of this.
I've
made by Lay's.
I've never heard of that.
Crunch Taters.
No idea what that. I do like that Choppy and I, our submissions to this are both things where we're like, yeah, some people died. But, like, who cares? Sorry that some people got hurt. Peyton, 972 says they have Yogos at Costco.
Do they?
That's what that's what he's saying. So which if you Costco? Want that, 361.
Do you trust him, Peyton?
I don't know. Show me proof.
361, the old CeCe's dessert pizzas, 214, surprise Bobby didn't say Zima. And for you, 214.
Oh,
right there.
Man. Wow. That was a finger.
972, the IHOP Cinestack. We had Two Key Zeke said the crystal clear Pepsi over on the YouTube. Yeah, I think that's about it here on these answers. All right, next question here on Ask Reddit. Sean, you're in hell. What's on the TV?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what am I getting tortured by?
Like, what? Yeah, what if you sit down in hell and they have the TV on, what is on the TV?
You and I, it's the same answer.
What is it?
Horror films.
Oh, yeah.
A specific one?
No, any.
Any. Although I do want to see long legs. I've heard long legs is phenomenal.
The other day, Amanda made fun of me because I'm like, she really wants to see Beetlejuice. And she was all nostalgic over it. And I was like, she's like, did you watch it as a kid? I was like, the cartoon. Beetlejuice, even too scary for me.
Okay. Like horror films. Like Sarah saw this movie called Hell House. And she said it was like, without question, the scariest movie she's ever seen. This is recently. And I'm like, yeah, it's a no.
I don't remember the movie. It was a famous movie too, and it's embarrassing. It's everyone was in a house, and like it was like
Casablanca.
No,
House on Haunted Hill or Haunting of Hill House.
It was something. And this girl made me like watch it, and I stopped seeing her after it because like 7-8 times I was like, no, I don't want to watch it. Like, I seriously don't want to. Come on. And she insisted, and I never forgave her for it.
817.
That's a good one.
Game 6, Rangers versus Cardinals.
Yeah.
That one would be pretty bad here. 817, Coco Melon. The answer for me here.
Women's basketball?
No. That would have to be on a TV accessible to me, even in hell. I would give the answer that the Big Bang Theory. And I know a lot of people like it. Every single joke I've ever heard on that show, I'm like, oh God.
Really?
Yeah, that's
it's
the point.
It's so formulaic. It's the same thing repeated.
That was the only show that could give like primetime football a run for their money in the ratings and beat it.
It was a beast on the ratings. It really was.
Midland Power Wash on the YouTube says The View. Peyton Russell, what's on TV in hell?
So I went a different route with this one. Not really a TV show or movie, but a commercial. The J.G. Wentworth commercial, the 877 Cash. Now, I hate it. It was funny the first time, and then I see it. Like, I saw every other commercial felt like as a kid. Hated it.
East Texas Aaron on the Twitch says the Dez catch on replay. I think, yeah, if you replayed some sports stuff, that might get a little irritating. Mm-hmm. Some of the hurt feelings over time. So
there it is. A loaded expressway commercial free here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. How did the CeeDee Lamb deal get done? Did Jerry and Steven actually win anything? Is Dalvin Cook next? And the final 53 with Cowboys insider extraordinaire Todd Archer from ESPN live on The Fan.